go. In 5,
New York City.
4, 3.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Walls Do Talk, a true crime podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Weimer, and I'm so happy you're here with me tonight. If you haven't tuned in to the last couple of episodes, you need to. I gave you part 1 and part 2 of my serial killer case, and you will not be disappointed. But lately, I've been giving you some pretty heavy episodes, and so I thought let's lighten it up a little bit, and in true holiday spirit, I'm going to bring you some joy. Or at least make you laugh a little bit. As a crime scene investigator, I never thought I would come across so many of these items. I don't think there's any other profession out there, unless you're in the industry, that comes across these as much as I do. Have you guessed it yet? I'm talking about sex toys. That's right. I'm talking about dildos, vibrators, butt plugs, anal beads, you name it. You name it, I've seen it so many times at my crime scenes. You know, when I signed up to be a crime scene investigator and I thought about collecting evidence, I was thinking of, you know, fingerprints, DNA, ballistics. I'm not thinking about sex toys. I'm not thinking about sex toys playing a major role in helping solve cases as well. Like, it just wasn't there. So today, I want to bring a few of my most favorite stories, my most memorable moments, all revolving around sex toys. So for the first one, let me set the scene. It's actually a pretty major homicide scene that I was able to attend. It was very brutal. It was on a weekend and it was an early morning and it's in a quiet neighborhood and I'm making my way to this very, very beautiful home. Now, in this home, there was a couple, maybe in their 60s, and they had been brutally murdered. I mean, it was a very violent death. So I make my way inside the house, and the investigators, they're all upstairs. And I'm looking around the house, and nothing seems out of place. And they have a lot of items in their home. I mean, gorgeous items, expensive items, but everything seems undisturbed. If you were to walk in there and look, you would never know that there was this awful, horrible, violent crime that had taken place upstairs. So I make my way upstairs and I'm walking up and up and there I finally get to the master bedroom. And that's where the investigators are. And I see the master bedroom bed. It's this large king bed and it's covered in blood, soaked in blood. And we start taking pictures, taking notes, and we're snooping around in the master bedroom. And once again, nothing seems out of place. So at this point, I'm thinking, doesn't look like a robbery. Doesn't look like there was a big struggle, except for the bed, of course. Nothing seems out of place. Like there's no weapons laying around. There's no drugs laying around. So we still really don't know what is the motive for this case. So we finish processing until the final part where the investigators say, hey, let's lift the mattress. Well, this is a huge king bed with a very large mattress and it's soaked in blood. So it is heavy. So we ask the guys, hey, can you go over there? You got to lift the mattress for us and we'll look underneath. So the mattress is sitting on this wooden frame and they go to the corner and lift the mattress up. And all I do is just stand there and my mouth drops open because underneath the mattress is about 30 different vibrators and dildos. I mean, there are big ones, small ones, double-headed ones, pink ones, black ones, skinny ones, fat ones. There's ones with balls attached, balls with spikes attached. Like I'm in just disbelief. And the investigator's going, what is it? What is it? We can't see because they're struggling over there holding the mattress. And we just, you just don't know what to say. You think there's about 50 dildos under here. And they're like, what? So at that point, they keep the mattress off the frame and they leave all the sex toys exposed. And we kind of just like shake our head in disbelief, but we continue on with the investigation. Well, I think everybody else continued on with the investigation, but I just couldn't like take my eyes off of it. I was in complete disbelief. I had never seen that before. So I was more fascinated with the types they had under there, the colors, the sizes, all that stuff. And they kept saying, Gabby, focus. Come over here, focus. We need you to start fingerprinting. Get to work. So that scene was definitely memorable. And even to the point now, when we talk about it, like I don't think of the most horrific thing that just happened. I just think, oh, damn, that was that older couple that had all them damn dildos. You know, that's what exactly what my mind goes to. Like, I can't even focus on the homicide. I'm focused on the sex toys. So that was literally my first introduction to finding dildos, vibrators at my crime scene. Little did I know that this was going to be like a common occurrence at all my crime scenes. So now that takes me to, you know, a little further in my career. And most of the scenes we go to involved people's homes getting broken into, right? And so like I told you previously, if you've listened to my episodes, like I'm going through all your personal stuff. I'm looking in your garbage can. I'm looking in your drawers. I'm trying to look for evidence. So there's two scenes that come to mind that still make me, you know, laugh or just funny in shock to this day. And the first scene that I can think of involving someone's house being broken into is this beautiful home down south. And it's this, you know, kind of a young couple. And they invite me into their home. It's the evening time. You know, they came home from work and discovered that their home had been broken into. And so I let them know, hi, I'm just going to be walking around looking for evidence. If you see anything, just let me know. So I do my normal processing. I'm taking my pictures. I'm looking for DNA. I'm looking for fingerprints. And I'm there for about an hour. And I'm about to wrap up. So I let the couple know, you know, I'm all done here. Thank you so much. And the wife comes running up to me. She goes, oh, you know, there was something I needed to show you before you leave, if you could take a look at it. I said, oh, yeah, definitely, of course. She's like, I noticed something, and you should probably take a look. It's probably valuable evidence. So she takes me up once again to the master bedroom, and we make our way around this very large bed. And on the right side of the bed, there's a nightstand. So between the nightstand and the bed, she points down, and she says, look. And I look, and it's this dark green carpet that they have. And she goes, look at the footprint right there. Do you see it? Do you see the indentation right at the bed? And I'm looking, and I don't see a footprint. But what I do see is this huge Tonka truck of a vibrator. And I look at it, and I look at her, and she goes, see, you just get down a little closer. Just go down there and kneel down and get close. You'll be able to see the indentation. You'll be able to see what I'm talking about. And I look at her again, and I look at the vibrator, and then I look at her again, and I give her this look that, like, you know that I know that you know that I know that that's a big-ass vibrator, and that's your vibrator, and I am not going to kneel down next to it and get my face next to it. Like, what in God's name thinks, you know, makes you think I'm going to do that? And so she kind of looks at me, and I go, you know, I'm sorry, ma'am, I'm not going to get down there. I see a little bit of indentation, but there's really nothing we can do about that impression. And she just casually goes, oh, okay, I just wanted to show you. I'm like, oh, I could have casually just thought that you wanted to show me your big ass vibrator. Like, why wouldn't she move it? You know, I just thinking, gosh, like people, I don't know what goes through their mind, but it was hilarious. She wanted me to get cheek to cheek with her vibrator, and it just was not happening. So that was one memorable moment that I still laugh about. And the other one, it kind of gives me like, oh, and it's funny, but it's gross at the same time. Once again, this lady's house gets broken into. And now it's during lunchtime. She went to work and she came home for lunch. And unfortunately, she discovered that her home had been broken into. So they called down to the police department and they send me out there for the investigation. So I get out there and she's probably in, you know, her late 30s, and she greets me. She says, yeah, welcome into my, you know, come into my home. And she gives me a walkthrough of her whole house. And she says, okay, let me take you to my bedroom. Once again, it's the bedroom. And she goes, this is where they did the most damage. So we walk into the bedroom and she's standing in the doorway, kind of, you know, resting against the form or the doorway. And she's like, oh, yeah, this is, you know, they pulled out this. And I keep explaining to her, perfect. Show me exactly what they touched, and that will help me determine what I need to process for fingerprints. And then so she casually goes, oh yeah, over there on the bed, you see that plastic bag? They definitely took that out of the drawer. They definitely touched that. I'm like, oh, okay, perfect. So I walk over to the edge of the bed, and in this brown plastic grocery bag, I see that there's something in it, but it's not tied shut. It's just kind of casually sitting there. And she goes, yeah, they definitely touched it. That would be great for fingerprints. Okay. So out of curiosity, I want to see what's in the bag, right? So I go to open the bag, and it's kind of stuck shut, but then I finally pop it open, and there it is, this giant black dildo, but with this crusty, white, flaky film all over it. And I immediately am shocked, and I just shut the bag immediately. And I look at her and I go, okay, thank you so much. You know, and I just was not expecting that. And she didn't even flinch. Like, she just looked at me like, so are you going to process it or what? You know, and I thank her and I say, you know, you can go ahead and take a seat. It's going to be a while. I'll just be in here, you know, looking around, looking for DNA, using my fingerprint powder. So go ahead and just relax, and I'll call you if I need you. She goes, okay. And she just calmly and, you know, nonchalantly walks away. And in my head, I turn around and close my eyes and think, what the fudge? Like, why? Why would you do that to me? Why would you, you know, not say, oh, be careful, or, you know, or just tell me, you know, my dildo's in that bag, so I would be careful when you open it. She didn't say anything. I mean, if it was me, I would probably either A, tell them, hey, there's a dildo in there, so I'd just be careful, I wouldn't open it. Or I would immediately leave the room. Like, if I knew there was an investigator on the way to open up a big black dildo, I would probably just exit the room and just pretend like I'm not understanding what's going on. I'm just gonna put my head in the sand. It is what it is. But she wasn't embarrassed at all. But I think the worst part was, is that when I was surprised, right? And I just shut the bag, and this poof of flaky white air just hit me in the face. And I thought, damn, I probably could have claimed workman's comp that day because of all that vagina flaky whatever just hit me right in the face. I know I had to breathe it in at some point. It was disgusting. So those are two very memorable moments that I had as a crime scene investigator in someone's home where I've come across their vibrator or their dildo. And I've had many, many more scenes involving residential burglaries and finding dildos and people just not caring. But I wanted to share those two with you. Another big type of scene that we come across a lot of sex toys, and particularly vibrators, are vehicle searches. So when I see a vehicle search, I mean that usually a big crime was committed, and there is a vehicle associated with it. Like, maybe it was a high-speed chase and the vehicle crashed. Or it's a search warrant. Maybe they're dealing drugs out of the car. Or maybe the vehicle's linked with a homicide. Whatever it is, we have to search it. And actually, side note, just the other day, probably 4 days ago, I was working on a car. I get to start searching the car, and I finally get to the trunk, the last place. And in the trunk is a toolbox. And I have to do my due diligence. So I open the trunk and I pull out the toolbox and I'm looking through it. And then I lift out the insert. And right there underneath the insert, along with the Phillips head and the Allen wrench and all the other crusty tools, is a vibrator, a little tiny vibrator. And the thing was no more than 3 inches big. But I'm like, what the hell? Who keeps a vibrator in your trunk in a toolbox? I don't know. I have no clue. And the vibrator, it was kind of comical. I'm looking at it and I take a picture, but on the vibrator, it's labeled Pipe Dreams. That was the title of the vibrator. And I thought, Pipe Dreams, what an interesting name, because I don't know if it's just the slang I grew up with or the people I hung out with, but whenever you heard pipe and a penis in conjunction with each other, it's like, oh, I'm going to go lay the pipe, or he's got pipe. You're thinking of a big penis. You're thinking of at least like 8 inches. I never thought, you know, 3 inches, Pipe Dreams. I feel like the name didn't properly represent the vibrator or the little dildo. I almost wanted to talk to the girl and be like, it's okay to dream bigger, have bigger pipe dreams. Anyways, I just thought that was funny. I was cracking up. And yeah, why have a vibrator in a toolbox in a trunk? It's not easy access and it's all dirty. I just didn't get it. But you wouldn't believe I come across that quite often. So the story that comes to mind involving a vehicle is one of my most memorable moments and involves one of my most favorite people that I've ever come across that has been involved in a crime. So we had a major incident go down and we had a vehicle involved. The person that owned this vehicle wasn't our main suspect, but the suspect did have access to the vehicle and possibly left behind some of their own personal items. So police or detectives, they find this individual and they call her up and they ask her, can you please bring down your car? We would like to search it. And she said, sure. She was very cooperative. And so she gets to the station and I'm there and I meet her and she pulls her car in and then she goes out and gets a little folding chair and takes a seat not too far away. And she's eating like, I think she's eating carne asada fries or enchiladas. Like detectives went and bought her some food. So she's sitting there watching me process this vehicle or process her vehicle while she's, you know, she's eating. And I let her know, hey, I'm just in here searching for the vehicle. I'm going to be taking pictures of items. I just need to let, or you need to let me know what is yours and what is not yours as I go through it. And she's like, yeah, no problem. Take your time. So I'm taking pictures and I'm working my way through the vehicle. And I get to the back area, the back seat area, and there's this bag. And I go and take a picture and then I go to open the bag. And to my surprise, once again, I'm shocked because in the bag, which I was not expecting, are dildos, a vibrator, lube, lingerie, and I can see like some furry handcuffs. And I'm like, oh shit. So I seal it really quick and I look over to her and she's eating and I go, excuse me. And she looks up like, hey. And I lift the bag out of the car and I go, is this yours? She goes, oh yeah. Oh honey, don't look in there. That's my go bag. And she's waving her fork. She's like, that's my go bag. You don't want to see what's in there. And I'm like, okay, thank you. She goes, did nobody tell you this is the no-tell motel? That's what she called her car, the no-tell motel. And I said, no, ma'am, nobody told me. And I'm smiling and kind of laughing. And she's like, oh, it's all right. Put it back. Don't look through it. You're not going to find anything you don't want to, you know, you don't want to see. And she was a prostitute, I come to find out. But yeah, I've never heard of anybody say that. Girl, that's the no-tell motel. I thought it was pretty catchy. So I finish processing her car and I walk up to her and she stands up and I thank her. I say, thank you so much for letting me process your car. You know, thank you for cooperating. I really appreciate it. Said, one last thing I need to do is I need to collect a DNA swab from you. I said, it's just going to be really fast. I just need to swab the inside of your mouth so that I can have your DNA profile. And that way it won't get uploaded into the system. And she looks at me. She goes, oh, girl, good luck. You're going to find a lot of DNA up in this mouth. And I was like, oh, my Lord. And the detective with me, he just loses it. He almost loses his shit. And he just turns around. He can't keep it together anymore. He's laughing. He walks away. And I just smile. And I can't help but laugh. And she's great. She opens up. I swab her. I thank her. You know, we go our separate ways. But that lady was one of the most memorable people that I've ever encountered when processing a crime scene. She is a prostitute, but she had a lovely spirit about her. She was a great heart. And so I hope I do come across her one day. It would be great just to smile. She probably won't recognize me. I'll recognize her, though. So I hope she's safe, and I hope she's doing well. So shout out to the No-Tell Motel. So that is what I wanted to share with you. Just a few of my most memorable moments. I have a lot more stored in here. We can have a conversation another day. I know that there's plenty of crime scene investigators out there watching this. So please feel free to send me your episodes or send me your times where you came across some crazy sex toys that, you know, took you by surprise. I would love to hear your stories. I always also like my listeners to have a takeaway. So if unfortunately your home gets broken into, as a crime scene investigator and as detectives or investigators and police will tell you, please, please do us a favor. If you find your home has been broken into, don't touch anything. Don't frantically start rummaging through things to see what was taken. Don't start cleaning up. Just leave it be. Because once you start touching things and putting things away, you start ruining DNA and you start ruining fingerprints. And a lot of our evidence gets lost. But if your dildos or your vibrators or your butt plugs or your anal beads are all about your house and got thrown out because of the suspects put them there, please feel free to put those bad boys away. I'm not processing them. I'm not going to take pictures of them. I'm not going to look for DNA or fingerprints on them. No, thank you. So save us all awkward moment and put your sex toys away prior to the police arriving. You don't have to do an explanation. We understand. But thank you so much for listening tonight. I hope you enjoyed this talk about sex toys. I hope it brought smiles to your face, and I hope you had a little bit of a belly laugh. I know I did. I laugh every time I just think of these episodes. And so it's been a great night here. A huge, huge shout out to Red Sky Productions here in Oxnard. I'm here in downtown Oxnard in this beautiful studio. It's a wonderful crisp night right before Christmas hits. Thank you all. I love you. Make sure you tune in, and I will see you next time. Have a good night.